It's time for the fastest 15 minutes in the news. This is Dory's Fastest 15.
David Bowe's in for Dory Monson here on 97.3 Cairo FM. And the Fastest 15 begins right now with another shocking story where we find ourselves in agreement with Danny Westneat and, that's not so shocking, but with Shama Sawant, the only person, says Westneat, on the city council who gets why tolling the city of Seattle, basically Seattle has decided, while they're willing to ignore the no trespassing laws they have in their public spaces and let people violate all kinds of issues there, they're not willing to let people drive into town without finding a way to make them pay. And Shama Sawant says, hold on a second.
We're also talking about cities that have far, far superior public transit. And so I don't know what to make of this. I mean, the way you're presenting it, it seems to suggest that congestion pricing is what has worked. And maybe it has, maybe it hasn't. I don't know. You're comparing apples to oranges. I mean, the reason a lot of people are able to not drive in London is because they have far superior public transportation.
I mean, it's amazing. I could have said the exact same thing. And I would have. You go into London, you can get anywhere at any time pretty quickly. So when the city of Seattle folks are talking about, hey, this congestion pricing, that would work here. First of all, we're not nearly as dense as London. Secondly, our transportation infrastructure there's no resemblance, none whatsoever. And so their talk of wanting to charge people for getting in and use congestion pricing in the city of Seattle, as Shama Sawant points out, shockingly, this would hurt the poor. This would hurt people who are trying to better themselves and move up the economic ladder, because you have to be able to move from job to job. And there is no question, the only way to do that is with a car. Even with all of our traffic congestion and other issues, the car is what allows for that flexibility. And without it, people are limited to, they're extremely limited in their job options. And they're more likely to stay stuck in one spot than they would be otherwise. So how bad can it be in one city? It brings us to Fastest 15 story number two, which is from the Daily Mail. Would you pay $1,200 a month in rent for a bunk bed, no privacy, a shared bathroom, and that's about it? In some renters in the city of Los Angeles and San Francisco are offering for bunk bed pods in a communal home, and they get a desk, a locker, and a personal TV. And that's about it. Now, I hope there's headphones with personal TV, because I've seen these pods. They got these bunk beds kind of jammed together, and if all three of you have, or four of you are jammed that close, you all have your TVs going, it's going to be tough to hear. For $35 to $50 a night, each tenant gets his or her own desk, locker, shelf, and personal TV. Average rents in Los Angeles and San Francisco are $2,300 per month or $3,900 per month, respectively. So for those of you who think Seattle couldn't, and the Seattle area couldn't get worse, we're still a high-tech bargain, comparatively speaking, in this area.
The video, too, there's a video by one the company PodShare, and it looks so horrible and so small. And they're just on top of each other. It looks like, a hostel on your European travels.
It does. Something. It frightens me. It's the future of the world that you would envision in some kind of a 90s kind of prediction of what the future would look like. You're just jammed together like sardines in a pod. Here's part of the PodShare video audio.
PodShare is a co-living, co-working community across multiple addresses in the city of Los Angeles. So it's a $15 day pass, or you can do 24-hour pass, $50. So that means any location. You're not just locked into DTLA. For any duration of time, you can stay one night, you can stay multiple months. It really doesn't matter as long as you're open to sharing. I wanted to create co-living, meaning you face each other and there's social collisions. Like, you can't close yourself out. This is collaborative living. The goal of PodShare is actually to be the first subscription housing model in the city of Los Angeles and in the state of California and then the country. But imagine paying one monthly fee and living anywhere in the country or maybe the world. That's what a global citizen is.
It sounds a lot like a hostel when you're a kid. That's fine. You know, if you're traveling from place to place, you just need a relatively safe place to bunk. Maybe that's okay. But for me, that's just a nightmare. It's like, oh, great. I can't afford the rent, so I'm going to pay for what looks to be a 2x4 constructed bunk bed, mattress of unknown. I don't know how they're controlling the cleanliness of the mattresses. I'm not sure that I want to know. I think I'd be bringing my own like inflatable single. Yeah, just sleep there. Anyway, more power to her. Thus enters the it's free market. So, you know, if that's the way to roll, that's the way to roll. But I'd be looking into, say, moving out of that area, moving into someplace I could afford, or changing some of the regulations that make housing less affordable and respect people enough to give them some options. Rules of the spaces, by the way, lights off at 10 p.m. So if you're a late night reader, sorry, can't do it. I don't know if that includes TV or not. They don't say. But, you know, that's a constant source of friction with my wife and I. She likes to have the kind of the Netflix TV on while she goes to sleep. I can't stand that kind of thing, but I do like a fan, and my wife doesn't like the white noise. So
I can't imagine this catching on. The millennials do a lot of things that I don't understand, but this one, I cannot see this catching on.
Well, the other rule is there's no sex allowed, so that kind of puts a damper on some people's lives.
Yeah.
So, you know, I mean, not that if you're in these bunk beds really jammed together, that's probably a good rule to have, because it's going to get a little awkward pretty quickly there. You know, what's that guy's name? The billionaire? Epstein's like, oh, wait, you know? I'm willing to roll. Anyway, $35 to $50 a night. I look at that and I think, oh, I used to pay that at Motel 6. Now, it only buys a bunk bed? I mean, ouch. Talk about inflation. All right, in Detroit, there's a new music fest, Afro Future Fest. But they're charging people based on the color of their skin. Afro Future Fest pay model is that there's an early bird special for POC, people of color. That ticket's $10, while the early bird non-person of color ticket costs $20. So Whitey McWhite guy, your ticket's going to cost twice as much. That offended Jillian Graham, a.k.a. Detroit-based rapper Tiny Jag. Not big on the rap music myself. I did not recognize this person's handle, but I do respect her stance. She said, look, I'm biracial. I have songs about my grandmother, and now they're telling me twice as much to get in. I'm not putting up with that. That's nonsense. It's discriminatory. It says, from the Metro Times, says she indicated feeling very triggered and discussed how the pay model would have affected her family personally. She said her project's called Polly. That's her grandmother's name. How do you want me to come to a performance and perform these songs off a mixtape that's titled after this white woman that you would have charged double to get in here? This is just, like, so outrageous from so many different angles. Couple of things there. One, she's just dead on. I mean, it's ridiculous. You're not curing discrimination by discriminating. Secondly, one of the challenges I have is with this, the younger generation and this idea that you're feeling very triggered. Instead of saying something's offensive and then arguing that it is offensive and having people have an objective discussion about whether or not something is offensive, what we say is, hey, I feel triggered. And because I feel uncomfortable, therefore there's something wrong with it. Those are not the same things. I think she's on much stronger ground by saying, look, I was offended. I feel offended. And this is offensive. And you can make a logical argument that way. But the reliance on the whole feeling of being triggered puts the emphasis on making sure you feel good, whether there's a truth or not to it. And things become subjective rather than objective. So Tiny Jag pulling out of Afro Future Fest. I would think that there's a lawsuit there as well, because it's not legal to discriminate and charge people different rates based on their skin color. So if I were the attorney for this music fest, I would say you might want to change this to a voluntary, hey, are you willing to pay $10 more? And even then, you're probably putting yourself at risk. But I'm not a lawyer, so, you know, whatever they want to do. CBS reports that a diner is offering one option that has gone viral across the country because of people enthusiastic about what has never before been photographed on a menu. What option is it? No, it's not some kind of 10-stack burger that you're going to get a picture on the wall if you wolf it down, or some kind of contest for all you can eat. It's not even bacon on, insert name of something bacon shouldn't be on here. It's a menu option that I think almost all heterosexual men, maybe even homosexual, I'm not sure how that works, but I think most men will be able to relate to. And that is the new dining option of, quote, my girlfriend is not hungry. I guess you could say my girlfriend slash significant other slash spouse is not hungry menu option. For just $4.25 more, they'll add extra french fries to your entree and fried chicken wings or fried cheese sticks to your order. Because who has not been in the position where you're at the restaurant, you're hungry, it's getting late, you're ordering, and your dear loved one across from you says, you know, I'm not really hungry right now. But then when your plate arrives, they're just wolfing down whatever it is. Oh, you know what? I'll just have a few bites. Allow me to cut that portion in half. And then you realize you should have just ordered two. You just should have just at least ordered an appetizer to whet your appetite before you got your plate, because half of it's got to go. For the first time ever, a restaurant has recognized this phenomenon. And within a few days, it reached over 21,000 shares on Facebook. The restaurant is Mama D's, located in North Little Rock, Arkansas. So if you're in the neighborhood of North Little Rock, Arkansas, maybe visiting the Clinton Library up there or something. It's got to be some Clinton-related tourist attraction there. You can check out Mama D's and check out the My Girlfriend Is Not Hungry menu item. I think other restaurants should catch on to this and just roll with it, because it sounds like a pretty good plan, pretty good gimmick to me. A new study finds that nice guys finish first. According to a Michigan State University study, it claims that at the end of the day, it's not what you have in common with your partner. It's not all these personality traits that some of the dating websites are trying to match together. It's just finding out if the person is a genuinely nice person. Bill Chopik, the lead study author, says people invest a lot of time, a lot in finding someone who's compatible. Our research says that may not be the end at all. Instead, people may want to ask, are they a nice person? Do they have a lot of anxiety? Those things matter way more than the fact that two people are introverts and end up together. They claim to have conducted the most comprehensive study ever on relationship happiness. Researchers utilized a long-term survey of more than 2,500 heterosexual couples who have been married around 20 years. Using that data, the study authors measured the impact of personality traits and well-beings in this relationship. So if someone's neurotic or extroverted, it can lead to lower relationship satisfaction. Chris, you must be the happiest man alive. You're a pretty quiet guy, pretty introverted, you know. Sean's got your microphone off, so nobody can hear you.
Oh, sorry. My girlfriend's actually pretty extroverted.
Oh, So that's bringing you down a notch.
It makes me even quieter, yeah.
I mean, you know, but she's perfect in every way.
Right.
Case.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Totally.
That's a good plan. So, shared interests, similar personalities, almost zero effect on relationship satisfaction. So, the age-old advice, look for someone nice, applies. Shockingly. Shockingly. Nice guys out there are going, oh, yeah? Well, that's great. That's just great. You know? Maybe after the second or third long-term relationship, when I'm in my late 40s or 50s and I've outlived everybody else, then maybe somebody will give me a call back. That's all you can hope for. And some good news, some local students out of Renton, three talented Renton students are moving on to phase two of the Western Aerospace Scholars after success in phase one of the course created by NASA and the University of Washington. Leah Smith, junior at Lindbergh High School, Remo Arand, junior at Seattle Prep High School, and David Fan, junior at Kent Ridge High School, all live in Renton and made it to phase two. Well, what is this program? Basically, they are now going to have a 6-day experience trying to plan a human mission to Mars, which for a high school kid is pretty awesome and cool. They're going to work with scientists and people from the University of professors from the University of Washington, students and certified educators to try to plan this trip. Whenever I see this, first a couple of things jump out at me. I know it's a high school thing, so it's awesome. But I think, okay, if I was being sent to Mars, I want them to spend more than 6 days planning. You know what I mean? Let's give these kids like a 5-year mission.
Do they get to go?
Explore these strange new worlds.
Do they get to go if they get a good plan together?
Would you want your kid to fly off to Mars? Why don't you, kid? Why don't we send a few other people there first? Let's get the groundwork laid. You know, make sure there's some creature comforts. Then we'll talk about it. Because
what does it mean to plan a trip to Mars?
I don't know. I guess it's a theoretical thing. They would plan it, and I don't know. It'd be cool if they ran it through some kind of a simulator or something, but I have no idea. They're planning a trip. They'd have to plan not only the they'd have to plan how to get there, and then what to do once you're there, because let's face it, it's not a lot of golf, you know, not a lot to do on Mars right now. A lot of rock.
Yeah, Mars seems kind of boring. Wasn't there a story recently where you could, if you were for a couple $100,000, you could get on a trip into space and go to Mars?
Well, they were talking about getting people to volunteer for one-way trips and start a colony there because it takes so long to get there, and they don't have the well, once they get there, they wouldn't have a way to get them back. They think that they could get people to Mars, they just haven't figured out how to get them back from Mars, which is kind of shocking because, you know, we all know solar power is just as good as anything else, and you know there's a lot of solar there, so. Just a slight dig in the solar panel. But anyway, the point is, there are people who have volunteered for that trip. I think that that's a extremely unhealthy idea. Like, the amount of loneliness and pain that people would be in. Human beings are social creatures. To head off and just, it'd be like being marooned. It's like the fate of poor Amelia Earhart, you know, just lost on an island and destined to die alone.
You're not into going into space?
No. No. I'm into nice flights. I like first class if I can possibly get it. I've been there once in my life. It was free. A little upgrade. But, you know, I like the speed of plane travel. Not real big on going into space. I look at it. I can see it from a camera. That's awesome. But I feel like everything about space says don't go there. Right? It's like, you know, you get up, let's say your suit has a little hole in it, it's ruined. You know, aliens, who knows what you're going to find out there. Bad enough down here. David Bose in for Dory Monson here on 97.3 Cairo FM.
Show. It's producer Nicole. You know, I had to sprinkle in a few best ofs. So I pulled a couple of my favorite interviews from the last few months. Here's Dory with a couple of guys from the American Legion who were told they couldn't say the Pledge of Allegiance on San Juan Island anymore.
We get most of our great exclusive stories from listener tips. And on our Facebook page, listener Steve, he sent us a message a couple of days ago, and all it said was, I'd like to steer you toward the Mullis Senior Center on San Juan Island. Apparently, the American flag has been removed from the premises and is not being allowed to be flown on the property. The American Legion has been asked to not return for the flag ceremony they used to hold before community meals. I don't have the whole story, he wrote, but I figured that might be a start for you guys to dig into it. And so dig we did. Let me welcome to the show from American Legion Post 163, Commander Davin Holzer and Sergeant at Arms Shannon Plummer. Gentlemen, thanks for coming on with me this afternoon.
Thank you, sir.
Okay, like I said, I have very little details besides what we were given on Facebook. So, Davin, let me start with you. Just give me a little bit of the background in this controversy.
So where we got involved was the members that go to the senior center had been going through the situation where the Mullis Center board, without a vote to its public, had decided that the Pledge of Allegiance was going to be removed from their program. So the seniors then were doing it before him, about 15 minutes at 11:45.
Okay, and so, who decided that they were going to remove the pledge?
That was the members of the board.
Okay, the board,
the senior center.
But they didn't talk to the seniors at large about it?
No, they did not talk to the body at all.
Okay, all right. So they decided they were going to stop saying the pledge, and so then what?
And so then they started doing it beforehand. They thought the situation had resolved itself, but then they started telling them they were no longer allowed to do it beforehand either. That's when their regular members approached me and said that the flag was being misrepresented. Said, okay, well, I'll bring a contingency of veterans and other seniors, and just to show them that there is plenty of respect and honor for the flag in this community. So we went in there, we stood off to the corner. We said the Pledge of Allegiance when one of the members of the group said, if anyone would care to join, please stand at this time.
Okay.
We were received greatly by the members that were there. We left, and then the next day I received a phone call from the director of the Mullet Center, and she just didn't understand why it was right of us to come storming and barraging in there, dictating how they should be doing things.
Shannon, let me bring you in. So when they said the flag was being misrepresented, what did they mean by that?
Well, I believe what they were meaning simply about the flag being misrepresented. And I can only think of what they're thinking here, because it doesn't make any sense to me at all to try and put this as their argument. But I believe that they were saying that the flag was being overrepresented with the Pledge of Allegiance, because the senior center director had decided upon herself through the urging of three other members there that didn't want to participate with this, that it was taking too long and that the flag was no longer being represented as just a flag, but that we were trying to make it more than such. And there's the best thing I can give you.
Well, I mean, you guys are with the American Legion, and flag and flag and country are a pretty important part of what you're all about, right?
For God and country, that's what our motto is.
Yeah. Okay, so, I mean, is this one of those, I'm still trying to get down to the root of this, because I know San Juan County's very, very liberal. Is this one of those, the American flag is a symbol of hate? I mean, was that part of it? I really am trying to figure, and by the way, we've called the senior center, we're trying to get them on to get their side of it. I have not heard back yet.
Yeah, good luck.
Yeah, but I mean, is that what they're saying? That they just don't want the flag anymore?
Well, they've actually removed the flag from the room now, and are pressing charges on anyone who attempts to begin the Pledge of Allegiance
and bring their own flag.
And they actually have had people arrested now.
Wait a second. They've had people
yeah, go ahead and get that one.
No, time out. They've had people arrested.
Received county funds.
No, I understand. Yeah, this is a county fund, taxpayer funded senior center. They've had they've had people arrested for bringing the flag and saying the pledge.
Absolutely, sir. They wrote a new rule into their house rules, stating that nobody could do this without the first prior. I guess coordination through them. So they took it upon themselves simply as their board and rewrote the rules for the senior center.
Okay, now I
mind you.
As we were researching this story, one of my producers said that you guys would go to the senior center to join them in saying the pledge. The center told you that you're not allowed to do that. And one of the men said that the senior center director, one of you guys said, told my producer, the senior center director called what you did atrocious and compared the saying of the pledge with Nazi Germany.
That is correct. Yes. She told me that, what's the difference? Do you think that the people of Nazi Germany had or enjoyed saying Hi Hitler? And my response to her, besides a dumbfounded look, was, they didn't have a choice. This country, you do. And you're taking away everyone's choice and right of saying the Pledge of Allegiance.
Okay, now.
See, that's where we stand. We're just simply saying, don't force somebody not to have to. I mean, they're making it a law that you cannot say the Pledge of Allegiance at the senior center other than the days that they have deemed the right days. Now, mind you, they used to say the prayer and the pledge before every meal.
Okay.
Now, understanding separation of church and state, we didn't want to go ahead and fight that one.
No, that's
but
fine.
The Pledge of Allegiance,
right.
I went and told them, takes approximately 41 seconds if you stop and take a breath in between.
Okay, but no, you said they had people arrested. What police jurisdiction? Because I got to get hold of them now.
Good. That's San Juan Sheriff's Department.
Okay, and you're telling me, because I will call them, and I'm going to try to get them on before the end of the show, but you're telling me that the San Juan Sheriff's arrested people for saying the pledge.
And then dropped the charges.
Okay. All right. I'm going to call them.
There's also an assault charge on one of the members that work there for physically assaulting a member for saying the Pledge of Allegiance.
This
has gone crazy. I know.
This is one of the stupidest things I've ever heard of.
Thank you. I'm retired Army. I can't believe it myself.
Okay.
Here's the problem. Here's the problem. And, you know, this has driven me nuts, and I've just been always wanting to say this.
Okay.
It's amazing the amount of people that enjoy the liberties of this country, right? But they don't want to have to go ahead and produce any of the work that those liberties entitle you to. So simply having the right to stop somebody from saying the pledge, they think that's their liberty. I don't know. We don't understand it either.
Yeah, well, look, our everyone's liberty is to choose to say or not say the pledge. If you're forcing somebody else to do it or not do it, then that's not liberty. Okay, look, there's a lot.
That's where we're at.
I understand. Okay, there's an awful lot here for me to try to unravel. So as I said, we've tried getting hold of the senior center because I want to hear their side of things. And I will try to get hold of the San Juan Sheriff before the end of the show because this is the first I've heard about that. So,
It's quite amazing.
Okay. All right. I'm going to see how much more I can put together on this. And I appreciate you guys coming on with me this afternoon.
No, thank you for your time, sir. Honestly, thank you very much.
You bet. From the American Legion Post 163, Commander Davin Halzer and Sergeant at Arms Shannon Plummer. And we got some phone calls to make here because this is one of the craziest, stupidest things I've ever heard. Okay, I'd love to hear your thoughts. The Online Trading Academy text line is 98973. That's 98973. And we have lots more straight ahead here on the Dory Monson Show.
Goes in for Dory Monson here on 97.3 Cairo FM. Two Americans have been wounded in the running of the bulls in Spain. That static you hear is actual sound from the running of the bulls in Pamplona, Spain. But, you know, every time I see something like this, that somebody goes, an American goes, and in this case, a 46-year-old man from San Francisco gets gored in the neck, along with a younger American who, I think he was, 23, from Kentucky, who ended up getting a lesser injury, got gored in the thigh. Either way, it's going to hurt. You look at the size of those horns, you know. I'm surprised that somebody who gets gored in the neck lives, first of all. But he is needing surgery. But even the guy... If you were to tell me I was going to get stabbed with a horn that big by something that powerful in the thigh, I might wish I was dead.
Do you think they should still allow it, the running of the bulls?
You know, I'm not going to tell Spain what to do. I don't want to culturally appropriate, Chris, but I will say I find it a barbaric. I mean, I look at it and I think, look, I believe in, I'm a hunter. I like hunting. I believe that people need to be in connection with their food and understand that there's, you know, the price that's paid when you're farming. Even if you're vegetarian, there's habitat that's destroyed, animals that can get hurt in the collection process and the rest. So you need to respect the life that you're taking when you're eating. That said, I don't understand the running of the bulls is, hey, let's really tick off these poor bulls, make them really mad. And have them run down the street for a couple of minutes, goring a few people, and we'll have guys running in front showing how macho they are. And then at the end, we're going to kill the bulls anyway after torturing them for a while in a bullfight. So there's a part of me that thinks, you know, get rid of it. And then there's another part of me, kind of the the anthropologist curiosity of me that wants to see it. Like, I want to go and see, what is it about, why is this still in existence?
When I was in high school as a kid, I actually ran with the Bulls. It wasn't on purpose, though. We were in Pamplona.
And that sounds like a great story.
We got there late, and there was nowhere to stay because it's obviously booked for this time of year. There was no hotel, so we just we partied that night, the night before, slept on park benches, woke up, and we found ourselves standing in the Bull Run and didn't realize it, heard a cannon go off. And people were just pointing and laughing. We were all just standing there. Like, the Bulls are going to be here in about 30 seconds. So we freaked out and just hopped over the fence. But we were in the way. We were like 1 minute away from the Bulls.
See, you didn't even see the Bulls. You just ran.
Well, no, we jumped the fence and then they tore past. It was insane.
How fast did the Bulls show up before you jumped?
I think it had been like 30 or 40 seconds.
But you didn't see the Bulls when you jumped.
No, we just heard the cannon and we realized that it was starting. And then somebody said, oh, you're on the... You're on the Bull side there.
Don't you regret not waiting to see the Bulls before you jump so you could say, hey, I ran?
Not really.
I'm like Ernest Hemingway, you know?
My initial instinct is just jump over that fence.
You've got too strong of a survival instinct there.
I think so.
Yeah. Anyway, so I feel sorry for the Bulls at the end because, you know, when they're having that bullfighting, you know, they've got some kind of tie around their nether regions to really tick them off, and they're waving the capes around and taunting them, stabbing them. I just think the whole thing is, it's like, I like a steak as much as anybody. That doesn't mean I want to torture the cow beforehand.
You feel the same way about the bullfight, bullfight itself?
Yeah, I feel the same way about that. I feel worse about that because I feel like in the running of the Bulls, people have a better chance at, you know, the Bulls have a better chance at you know, evening the score, so to speak, you know. So, you know what I mean? They're going to gore a few people on their way and trample a few. So they're going to have their chance in the sun. But at the bullfighting, I feel like, you know, it's kind of stacked in favor of the bullfighter. I know that they're very athletic and all that kind of thing. I just don't understand why torture the animal. Put two of the bullfighters against each other. You know, let them charge each other with those spears. That makes more sense to me. You know, they could do it that way. David Bowe is in for Dory Monson here on 97.3 Cairo FM.